This is Global Air Force.
Don't you worry, don't you cry, and don't you be upset. Minimize regret, 'cause it's time to be changing. Don't you worry, don't you waste the time on doubts and fears. That time is drawing near, and there's time to be changing.
Now, here's your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God. It is another beautiful day. Today, I'm visiting with a friend. We've had him on the program many times. He's the author of a popular book, Humility, The Hidden Key to Walking in Signs and Wonders. His name is Mark Anderson. Out of Cody, Wyoming, he travels around the world, particularly India, Germany, Brazil. So today, we're going to visit with him. Hi, Mark. It's so good to have you back again. Humility, the hidden key to walking in signs and wonders.
But there, a lot of people don't seem to understand that there's a connection to humility, that it literally... The Christ-like humility attracts the glory of God, the manifested presence of God to this earth like a magnet. And we share that all over the world. And so this book has been a top seller for us. And they can get it from our website, Mark Anderson Ministries. Yeah, Mark Anderson Ministries.
Okay. Now, in your book, Humility, you're saying Randy Clark on it?
Yeah, he wrote the foreword for it.
Okay.
And he said, he actually said how important that book was how important that book was and how it needed to get out to the body of Christ. He said it was the best book he had ever read on the subject of humility, but it also it struck a chord with him because he walks in tremendous humility. So
some of our radio audience is just on the street or listening to their car radio. What is humility?
Humility is basically, it's a humbling of ourselves, and it's taking on the attitude of Christ. I mean, he is humility in its purest form, but the word humility means to get low, to be in a bowed position. It's basically saying, Lord, I'm trusting in you. I'm not going to walk in arrogance. It's the opposite of arrogance and pride. And so when we choose to walk in humility and humble ourselves, realize that everything we have is from the Lord. I mean, if we have any giftings, we shouldn't be boasting on them. Or be arrogant with those giftings. We have to recognize, hey, they came from God, and I need to walk in a humble attitude. And Jesus' whole ministry was that, you know. And that's what we bring out there in this book is He is humility in its purest form. You know, he's the kind of humility he walked in wasn't distorted by religious traditions from man. That's basically a false humility or a religious humility. I mean, he had the real stuff. Jesus was humility in its purest form. If you read the gospel accounts of Jesus' ministry, it's so laced with humility. Jesus, if he could sum up in one word what he was, what would that word be? He says, I am humble. So we really expound on the subject of humility, but also we've seen Jesus and angels appear in our meetings in India and Nepal on a regular basis, you know, because I believe humility attracts the manifested glory of God to earth like a magnet, so that In a lot of our meetings, Jesus has appeared to the unsaved, to people who don't know him, of different religions, different faiths, and they've radically turned to Christ, and many of them receive miraculous healings, and we have nothing to do with it other than we just choose to walk in humility and teach that to our leaders, and that's what they walk in. And we could go on and on with this subject, but we've seen such phenomenal. Let me just give you do I have time to share a testimony about humility of one of our leaders?
Yes, go ahead.
Well, this is Pastor Ankit. He's based in Delhi, India. He's probably got the largest charismatic church there. They have anywhere from 8,000 to 10,000 people come on Sunday. He's got a listening audience of 250,000 people. But he worked with us for a long time. Back in 2015, he was traveling with us, and we were doing a small outreach in northern India. And I felt one night, you know, I didn't feel like I was supposed to preach. So I gave the microphone to Pastor Ankit, who was just kind of young in the Lord at the time, and said, "Hey, why don't you preach tonight?" And he preached. What happened is there was such an anointing on his life. He was seeing the dead raised, cripples healed, blind eyes popping open. I mean, I could recognize the gift on him. And he really ran with my book, Humility, the Hidden Key to Walking in Signs and Wonders. He read that over and over again, and he really models humility in a powerful way. Well, right now in India, he's holding outreaches with anywhere from 250,000 people in a single service up to 450,000 people, and phenomenal miracles. Tens of thousands are being instantly healed by the power of God. His ministry has just really taken off, but he's a perfect example of somebody who really hungered for Christ-like humility, walked in it, and attracted the glory of God to earth. And he's probably has one of the most powerful ministries in India right now.
Wow. You know, you were saying humble. It says Jesus was humble, lowly in heart. You know, it's yes, isn't that something? My. I know that I studied a lot, and I guess I thought I was somebody. And the Lord told me one day, he says, "Get off your high horse." And I felt good. It felt good.
I had to get off my high horse, too.
Okay. We can recognize that.
Yeah.
One thing I'd like to hear about today is I read your magazine, and I'd like to go back to that first trip that you made. You talk about it on page 9 on the Good News magazine that you put out. So yes. I'd like to hear about that.
Yeah. So my first trip to India was in 1986. And of course, I've been going there a lot since then. My wife is from India. We were married in 1995. But yeah, the first trip I took there was 1986, a long time ago. And it was to southern India. And, you know, I remember telling people when I go, I'm going to see blind eyes open. But I've never seen blind eyes open up to that time, other than on a Reinhard Bonnke video or reading it in the Bible that Jesus did it. But I just felt like, you know, hey, Jesus is going to open up blind eyes on this trip. And I would tell people, my pastor was wondering, like, you know, he was really concerned for me. And I remember people coming up to me and saying, "Mark, what makes you think you're going to see blind eyes open? You've never seen it happen before." I said, "Well, you know, I'm going over there knowing who I am in Christ. It'll not be me doing the miracles, but it'll be Christ that lives in me." And so I got to India. They organized an outreach for me in southern India, and we ended up, by the third night, there was probably about 3,000 people that had gathered, and I was working with these pastors that didn't believe in miracles, so every night when I would get done sharing and inviting people to come to the Lord, you know, come to Christ, and I'd get done, and they'd want to get up and pray. And so I let them. I didn't know what they were saying because it was a different language. And then all of a sudden, I'm getting ready to pray for the people, like a mass prayer, and they would all be leaving. And I'm saying, "What is going on here?" By the third night, I caught on to what they were doing. Somebody told me. And I just got bold that night because I was believing the Lord, he's going to open blind eyes on this trip. And so the third night, 3,000 people gathered. I finished preaching my message. And then, like normal, the pastors wanted to get up, and they say they were praying, and but they were going to dismiss and send the crowd home. Well, I told them, you guys sit down. And then I made this statement. I said, in front of this huge crowd, I said, you know, Jesus is alive and well, and as proof he's alive, he's still opening blind eyes. If there's anybody out in the audience that's blind, bring them up to the stage, and we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. And so they bring me up a lady who's totally blind for 20 years. She couldn't see a thing. And I just explained to the crowd, we're going to pray in the name of Jesus, and Jesus is going to open her blind eyes as proof he's alive. And so I kind of followed. I had watched that Reinhard Bonnke video and was kind of doing it in a similar way, taking authority. I commanded, you blind eyes open in the name of Jesus. I command sight to be restored. I mean, just a short prayer and saying, in Jesus' name, eyes be open. Then I stood back and I asked that lady, can you see? And she said, no. Well, I really kind of wondered what to do then, because that's not what happened on the Reinhard Bonnke video that I had seen. Their eyes were open right away. And so I'm standing there kind of twiddling my thumbs thinking, what do I do next? And I'm so glad this lady listened to my message. One of the things I shared in my message was Mark 11:24. Whatever you desire when you pray, Jesus said, whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you'll have it. And so I shared with these people, I said, how do we believe we receive something? Well, one way is once you've been prayed over, start thanking God for healing you and answering that prayer or whatever you prayed for. And another way is confessing his word, speaking his word. His word, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word doesn't pass away. So I just shared those simple truths mixed with my message. I'm so glad this lady listened to that message. She started lifting her hands and praising Jesus in Telugu, in her language. And within 5 minutes, she saw a vision of the Bible in her head, and her blind eyes popped open. And then I said, well, if you can see now, come grab my cheek. Well, she came and grabbed my cheek, and she almost didn't let it go. You know, this is the first time she's seeing, and the first person she sees is some white foreigner standing on the stage, you know. And she, it wasn't like it was 100% that night, but it was so clear that she could, from total darkness to partial sight. But by the next night she came, she was 100% healed and doing well. And so since that time, we've seen hundreds and hundreds of people with blind eyes open. You know, sometimes you just got to take that step of faith with the Lord and get out of the boat, because if you don't start somewhere, you don't get anywhere.
You said she listened to your message and did what you told her.
Yeah. She.
I was thinking today about that as I read it in your magazine, and I realized that was one of the things that jump-started your ministry, really. That was one of the things.
Yeah, in India, that really, from that then on, we started going there quite a bit and seeing just hundreds and hundreds of people with blind eyes open, cripples healed, deaf ears opening, cancers dissolving, tumors dissolving, broken arms and broken bones healed. I mean, the Lord, we've seen thousands and thousands of people healed in our overseas outreaches.
In the social network, now the social networks, the ones that I read, talk about revival in India. They show thousands of people together, and maybe it's one of the ministers you were telling me about, but they're saying that a revival is going on, and that's in southern India, right?
Well, no, even in northern India it's happening. In northern India, there's tremendous persecution going on against the Christians. It's become really bad. I won't mention who's doing it, but it's become so bad that, like on Christmas, 60 of the churches in this one region were attacked in northern India, and they couldn't hold their Christmas service. A lot of pastors in prison right now and jail. And it's really, but in the midst of that persecution, God is moving both in southern and northern India, because you can't stop what the Lord's doing. And I think the persecution maybe is coming because of what the Lord's doing. He's moving so powerfully, and signs and wonders and miracles, and people want to personally know Jesus, the creator of the universe.
Yeah, that's a good point. Some of the last ministries I've had in the last few months, they're talking about a proving time. And I think last week we had a minister was saying that Jesus was saying, you know, you're going to do all these things. You're going to, you know, have this life, but with persecution.
Yeah.
And so he says, the fact that Jesus taught of how the wonderful ministry, they're going to do more than he did. He says, but with persecution. He says the persecution indicates that we're going to do all these wonderful things that Jesus did, yeah, and more on the earth right now. That's proof.
That's right.
So I listened to that message and it struck my heart.
Yep. But persecution can't shut the gospel down as long as we continue to move forward. And, you know, I can't do as much there in that country these days, but the people who live in India, they're the ones who suffer the persecution, and then they're the ones God is using so powerfully with signs, wonders, and miracles.
Well, yeah, God works on an eternal time, and it's eternity, and of course, his time is forever. In fact, we're forever, you know, as believers. I love that message. That's the message that caught my early ears. I'll give you eternal life. You'll have eternal life. Those that follow me will have eternal life. That caught my youthful ears. I wanted that eternal life.
Yeah.
So God thinks in times of eternity.
He's put eternity in our hearts, it says in in the Song of Solomon, I believe, or Ecclesiastes, one of those two. Eternity's in the heart of every person.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I love to hear more stories of what is going on in your ministry, but I was reading your magazine further on, and you hit a note. You were saying many Christians. Now, I just got done telling you that experience you had started you. It put the spark of joy. It lit the light. But you were saying many Christians have lost the joy of their salvation. Now, one of the reasons, I believe, is that they don't hear these stories. They don't hear teaching. They let something else get in their ears, the news and failure. They don't realize it's eternal, that God uses things to bring us closer to him, and they don't realize that. They don't get that. So, but you're saying many Christians have lost the joy of their salvation, and they don't want to serve.
Yeah, and I think a big part of that is when you know, the title. We have teachings, and by the way, if anybody's interested, they can subscribe to receive our Good News magazine free of charge, either by mail or email. But this teaching, the title of this teaching is Setting the Atmosphere for the Miraculous Through Thanksgiving and Gratefulness. And I think when we, as anybody, it doesn't matter if you're Christian or non-Christian, when we start getting to a place of ungratefulness, complaining, unthankfulness, it creates an atmosphere where right behind that comes unbelief. You basically short-circuit the presence of God, the power of God. But if we continue with an atmosphere of thanksgiving and gratefulness for everything the Lord's done for us as, you know, as believers, like, I'm thanking the Lord for all the good things he's done in my life. But then I also, my mate, I say, Lord, I tell Sharmila, I say, Sharmila, I'm so grateful you came into my life. And I constantly tell her how thankful I am. And she says the same to me. I mean, our marriage is great because, and it's full of joy and excitement and expectancy of great things. because we keep an atmosphere of gratefulness and thankfulness, whether it's things the Lord's done in our personal life or just for each other. And we refuse to get complaining, unthankful, ungrateful. But here's another thing that happens when we get grateful, when we're people that are grateful and we're thankful. What happens is it can bring in the joy of the Lord. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah 8:10. You can be going through a dark tunnel and going through impossible circumstances, just like the Apostle Paul and Silas went through at the midnight hour, and they began to sing praises. They weren't whining and complaining about being beaten and whipped and in their chains, but you can be going through that dark time, and joy is kind of like a power twin. It works with faith. When you have joy, what it is, it's an expression of your faith towards God. Hey, God, I'm going through this hard time right now. I'm going through this dark tunnel, but you know what? I have joy and peace because I know I'm coming out the other end because my eyes are fixed on you. That's the power of thankfulness and gratefulness. It literally creates an atmosphere for the miraculous. And that's that whole magazine article that we wrote. We share different examples of how Jesus was grateful. I mean, think about Jesus having the Last Supper with his disciples. He knows Judas is going to betray him. And what does he do? He gives thanks. That the Bible says he gave thanks and broke bread and distributed it among his disciples. And the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. What was happening? He's getting ready to head through a dark, dark tunnel to pay the price for our eternal salvation, to pay the price for our sickness and disease so we can be healed and be free from mental torment. And the Bible says he went through it with joy. He counted it joy. He had faith. He's coming out through this dark tunnel on the other side, and it was going to lead to our salvation. And so that's just some of the things that we share in this last teaching in the Good News magazine.
Yes, like you said, it changes the atmosphere. I mean, you're right at the point of breaking. You feel like you're going to fail. Things are insurmountable against you.
Yeah.
And that requires sometimes you to take your mouth, believe like what you're saying, believe Mark what he's saying, and just say it and start doing it. And minutes later, the whole atmosphere changes around you. The way you think, how you felt about it, the impossibility, I'll tell you what, I see it disappear. I notice hours later, it's all gone. I forgot. I wasn't sure when I actually crossed the line, but I just gritted my teeth and say, thank you, Lord, anyhow.
It creates a whole different atmosphere.
The atmosphere changes.
You know, and a lot of sickness and disease, I think some of it can start with unthankfulness and ungratefulness. Because if you think about it, even doctors will tell us today that a lot of sickness, and examples they give is cancer, arthritis, but there's a lot of it where if we take on negative emotions like unforgiveness, bitterness, but then also complaining, ungratefulness, unthankfulness, what happens, there can be a toxin released in our physical bodies that actually produces and enhances, you could say, these kind of things like cancer, tumors, arthritis. But if we're thankful people and we're confessing God's word and we're thanking him, it's a whole different atmosphere that doesn't release those kind of toxins in our physical body that bring on sickness and disease.
Yes. As we're talking about changing the atmosphere, you can be in fear and you cannot see a way out, but you change it with your mouth, And it can be hard to turn. You change it with, you could say, I don't believe that, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Well, Lord, I believe it. I believe it. I'm sorry. And then the atmosphere changes, and it is wonderful, wonderful.
2 Timothy 1:7, it says, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. If we're walking in fear, we're not going to be walking in love, we're not going to be walking in power, and we're not going to have a sound mind. But if we're walking in faith, just the opposite of fear, what happens? We'll be walking in power, love, and we'll have a sound mind. It's kind of like you have to make your choice, fear or faith. What is it? Which way are you going?
I was thinking, you know, your message on humility. And humility, in my understanding, is it's not breaking your will. It's taking your will to be somebody else's will, say God's will, somebody greater. It's yielding to them. It's yielding. It's not breaking. It's not breaking you. It's yielding to God's will, bowing down to his purposes.
Humility has a lot to do with trust. You're going to humble yourself and submit to his will, but that takes faith and it takes trust. Okay, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do, and I'm not going to walk in this arrogance and pride because you resist the proud, but you're near. The Bible says, I love this scripture in Psalms 138, verse 6, says, though the Lord is high, yet he regards the lowly or the humble, but the proud he knows from afar. What's going to draw us nearer to God and near to the glory of God is humility.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. It's actually getting connected up to God's power. God told me, get off your high horse. Boy, I felt so ashamed. I mean, a lot of people could see that, but...
I learned the hard way, too, through the School of Hard Knocks, Jim. one of the reasons I wrote this book is because I walked in a lot of pride and arrogance, thinking I was really something. And then I ended up reading Rick Joyner's book, The Final Quest, and that was kind of like a turning point. It talked about the critical spirit, the religious spirit, pride and arrogance in the last days in the church. And man, almost every other page I had to get on my knees and repent because that was me, you know? So I learned by going through the School of Hard Knocks, but then, man, when I started hungering for humility and choosing to walk in Christ-like humility the best I could, man, the blessings, the favor, the anointing, the signs, the wonders, the miracles, I mean, it was amazing, the transformation by grabbing a hold of that. Humility, the hidden key to walking in signs and wonders. And like I say, they can get it on our website. They can also see our magazines, our Good News magazines. There's a link for that, too, on our website where they can read these articles and where we're talking about the joy and thankfulness and gratefulness. Yeah, they just go to our website. There's a lot of resources available there, and they can just order that. Well, it's been great.
It goes quick. So you got a lot to say.
We'll have to do it again, Jim. I enjoyed it.
Mark Anderson.
God bless you, Jim, and God bless your audience.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
Don't you worry, don't you cry, and don't you be upset. Minimize regret, 'cause it's time to be changing. Don't you worry, don't you waste the time on doubts and fears. That time is drawing near, and there's time to be changing.